Have you ever had somebody ask you the question and say, what have you done? Maybe that's been asked to you in a couple of different ways. Maybe somebody came up to you and said it just like that. What have you done? In other words, something has taken place. They feel like it's your fault and you're going to get the blame for it regardless of what happens. And then maybe somebody has come up and said, hey, have you done something? Like they're questioning what has taken place and what's going on. Well, today we're going to take a look in God's Word at the book of Genesis chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to look at that particular question which God asked to Eve. What have you done? We'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I hope that your day has been a blessed one and that you're excited to be able to gather around God's Word today. I told you a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Genesis, very first book of the Bible, Old Testament book, Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to be facing the question, and I call it the first question that God ever asked Eve when he said, what have you done? Now, the context behind what we're looking at today is the fall. It's when Satan, by way of the serpent, tempted Eve, and she partook of the forbidden fruit and also gave that to her husband. So, ladies, don't get upset with me. I realize as well that Adam was right there, and he partook of it as well. But we're coming to the time of confrontation. Now, remember, last week we were talking about the fact that after they had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they realized that they were naked. And, you know, God comes walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and he's calling out for them. And we're getting down to the point of confrontation when they're actually having this particular talk with God after they had sinned. I just want to use a couple verses today. So we're actually going to be looking at Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 13. So Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 11, says, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for this another opportunity to gather around your word. Lord, I pray that you will teach us today from your word. Lord, may we learn lessons from Adam and Eve, but Lord, may we also understand that there is a consequence for what took place with Adam and Eve back in that time when they disobeyed you in the Garden of Eden, and therefore man has to contend with the fact that we are sinners and we need a Savior. Lord, one simple sin can send us to hell, and we're born sinners. So, Lord, the only thing that can change that is the fact of knowing Jesus Christ and through his shed blood and what was accomplished on Calvary's cross and through the resurrection that we have the opportunity for eternal life. Bless our time, Lord. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts in an individual way. Lord, I pray you'll use me as your messenger for these moments, that you would be lifted up, that you might truly draw all men unto you. So, Lord, bless our time is our prayer in Jesus' name. All right, folks, I mentioned just a moment ago that down in verse 13 in particular, you'll notice it says, what is it that you have done? This is a question that God was actually asking Eve. And this, I said, was the first question that God ever asked woman after she had eaten of the forbidden fruit and after she had shared that with her husband, Adam. But there's a couple questions about life's most serious subject that we're approaching in today's study. One is the subject of sin. Think about that for a minute. You know, God's original warning, if you remember what it was that he told both Adam and Eve when he introduced them to the garden, and he told them, he said, anything else of any, you know, tree of this garden, any fruit of this garden you can partake of except for one. And he said, but the moment that you partake of that, death will be the penalty. That is the warning. There will be death. Yeah, that came at the time that they were in a perfect environment when everything was right. There was no sin that was around them. And I think a lot of times we sit back and say, well, you know, wrong place, wrong time. Folks, you could be in the middle of a perfect environment and sin and temptation can come your way. You know, it also came when they were enjoying perfect fellowship with one another. Once again, everything at that particular time and time frame in life was perfect. You know, sin was not about them. They didn't know what that was. They didn't realize what sin was. You know, and not only that, God said, he said, everything else in this garden, everything except that one tree, you can have. Why is it that we always seem to chase after the one thing that we cannot have, or the one thing that we should not have, or the one thing that is a danger to us? You know, there's something about that old expression that people often say. They call it, well, why is it that people would want to partake of that? Well, because they were told they couldn't. It's often been called, even in today's society, the forbidden fruit. Well, what's so special about that? It's the forbidden fruit, and that's why everybody wants it so bad. Today's testimonies to the truth of God's warning. Yeah, that's what we're looking at today in God's Word. Yeah, think about it. I'm talking about in our society today. Remember, back in that day, there was sin hadn't entered the world. It was perfect fellowship. It was perfect fellowship with God. It was perfect fellowship between the two of them. They could have pretty much everything in that garden they wanted, with the exception of one thing. And yet, when that took place, sin entered the world. It changed. And it's something that you and I see on a daily basis. What is the testimony of that particular truth of God's warning when he said, you know, hey, if you partake of this, you shall surely die? That's what he said to them. And yet, what is the testimonies today that we see of the fact that sin entered the world back during the Garden of Eden? Think about every siren that you hear today. Think about every hospital that you visit or that you pass by. Think about every funeral service and every cemetery that you go through and attend. Think about every sign of advancing age. Think about the gray hairs. Think about the wrinkles. Think about all the different things that show that we're getting older and that we're aging. You know, think about every crime and think about every act of violence. Folks, none of these were present prior to Adam and Eve partaking of the forbidden fruit. So every time that you see something like that, every day, I mean, when you pass a cemetery, you can sit there and think about that. When you pass those hospitals, you can think about that. When you attend those funerals, you can think about the fact that there was a time when that was not the norm. You can think about the time that Adam and Eve messed up in the garden is what brought about these things that you and I are experiencing today. You know, Eve needed to know the seriousness of her act. You and I are still paying for that today. You've heard the old preacher say before that we're all born sinners. We have a sin nature that we're born with that we inherited from Adam and Eve because of the way they messed up in the garden. And God's question to her is something that drives that point home. What was it he said to her? What have you done? God didn't ask that question because he didn't know. He asked that question to get her to pause and think about what she had done. God already knew what was taking place. God already knew what had happened. Yeah, think about that question. What is it that you have done? What have you done? That's a question that calls for repentance. What is it that you've done? This is a very specific question. It is asking, you know, when somebody asks you, what have you done? They're asking, well, tell me what you did. Yet they want you to be very specific about that. It's a pointed question. It's a stern question. And it's a question that demands personal investigation. Oh, well, okay, well, this is what I did. You know, this is what took place. Yet it's to call your attention to it and think about what you've done as well. You see, God's questions are not to condemn, but to convict. You know, I love John, not only 3:16, but John 3:17. Most people know John 3:16, said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we leave out John 3:17, which says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Okay? Yeah, conviction of sin is what brings repentance. And God's question to Eve wasn't to condemn, but rather to convict her. And folks, repentance begins with an awareness of sin. You know, in other words, are you aware of the sin that you are committing? Are you aware? Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, you know, I wasn't aware that I was committing that sin. I can believe that to a certain degree and to a certain level, but to a certain degree and a certain level, I cannot. Now, let me tell you why. Because as a born-again believer, God is not going to allow you to get away with sin. He is going to convict your heart before you even fall to that sin. But then, like we always do, if we wind up messing up, we wind up going through with whatever that sin may be, then there is chastening. Then there is conviction for you to repent. Now, you've heard me talk a lot about repentance over the years and even through the times of our Wednesday Bible studies. And what does repentance mean? Repentance is not just simple forgiveness, but repentance means that you have a change of attitude about sin. I've always called it a 180-degree turn. When you're heading in a wrong direction, you're heading down a sinful road, your heart is convicted of it, and then you realize this is something that hurts God. This is not something that I want to be a part of my life as a believer, and the Word tells us it shouldn't be a part of our life. So, Lord, I've messed up. I confess to you I've messed up, and I don't ever want to mess up again. Help me to do a 180-degree turn, head away from the sin and back to the Savior. That's what repentance really is. You know, I've said before a lot of times that I believe that there is forgiveness. The Word of God tells us that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But there needs to be some repentance along the way. I mean, if you think about it, and when you think about the difference between forgiveness and repentance, I look at it like this. Somebody could be going down a wrong path and say, I'm going down the wrong path, Lord, forgive me. I'm going down the wrong path, forgive me. I'm going down the wrong path, forgive me. Well, they've never changed their direction. They just keep saying the same thing over and over. I call that the sin bucket. So many people go out and they sin and they say, oh, Lord, I messed up, you know, forgive my sin. Oh, Lord, I messed up. There was never a change of attitude or a change of heart about that sin. You know, when the conviction is there, you need to repent. You need to go in the opposite direction, away from the sin and toward the Savior. Remember, repentance is a change of attitude about sin. Now, how would you answer God's question to Eve? You know, if God were to ask you that exact same question today, what would you say to Him? You know, what have you done? If He came to you and said, what have you done? Now, most of us remember, and it probably just came to your mind right now, that you know God already knows what you've done. It's ironic that we will sit there and confess that, and we know that, but we act like we don't know that. We act like we can hide things from God. We act like we can hide from God. And folks, let me tell you, that's futile. That is not something that you can do effectively. You know. And God comes to you today, and He says, what have you done? Yeah, and I'm asking you that today on a personal level because the Holy Spirit is asking you that question. And in other words, what brings conviction to your heart? You know, when God says, what have you done? What are the things that's stirring up conviction in your heart where you have messed up? What have you done? He's asking you that you might confront it, that you might confess it to Him, that you might repent, and that you might truly be forgiven in each and every circumstance that has been brought to your heart. You know, what is it today that you need to confess? What is it today that you need to forsake? And what is it today that you need to repent from, turn around and head toward the Savior? You need to turn from your sins and turn to Christ. You see, I love the passage that we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. In other words, He cares about you. I hear so many times when people sit back and say, well, if you just knew what I did, there's no way God could care for somebody like me. Well, last time I checked, you are part of the none when He says, I would that none should perish. You are included in that group. So today we're kind of pondering that question that God asked Eve. You know, what have you done? That's also a question that precedes the promise of redemption. Now, when you go on into the chapter down in verse 15, it talks about bruising, you know, the serpent's head. This was actually the first promise of redemption, talking about Christ being the one who bruised the serpent's head at the cross and redemption being made possible for you and me through the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. Now, you know, like Eve, we're all sinners. I love what Romans 3:23 tells us, and it's a great passage for us to always keep in our hearts, that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all done things that we regret. I mean, every last one of us. If you're honest with yourself, and if we were sitting down having a conversation, if you were honest in that, you would have some things that you have done that you truly regret. We have all broken God's laws. It's plain and simple. I mean, even when you sit back and people say, well, I haven't broken God's laws. You know, how many times have I sat back and thought about, well, you know, the Lord even says that if a man looks upon a woman, you know, to lust after her, it's the same as he's committed adultery already, even though the physical act didn't take place. Man, I'm going to tell you one thing. There's laws of his that we break all the time, things that we do that hurt his heart. There is none righteous. The Bible tells us, no, not one. Not one of us is righteous. And yet God offers forgiveness, and he offers eternal life to sinners. You know, whatever you have done, let me tell you this, God loves you. You are not too far out of his reach. You are not too far away from him. You are not so bad that God's conviction is not within your heart, whatever that may be. And, you know, I wish I had a nickel for every time somebody said, well, you just don't know what I've done. Well, God does know what you've done, and yet he still knocks at your heart's door. He still calls you to repentance. Whatever you've done, listen to me and listen good. Whatever that is, God loves you, plain and simple. Bring your sins to him. Face them, confront them today, and carry them to him that you might have that opportunity to repent, that you do that 180-degree turn and turn away from sin and to the Savior. You know, maybe you've never trusted him. Maybe you have never asked the Lord to forgive your sins and come into your heart. You need to place your faith in him right now, this very moment. Listen, don't let another moment pass by. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you sit back and say, well, you know what, I'm not saved. I'm not one of those, a believer, as the Word says. I'm not one who's been born again. I'm not one who has been saved. Then you can change that right now. If you mean this with all your heart, you can simply bow your head and you can pray to God and you can cry out to him and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I realize that today. I'm asking you to come into my life and save my soul. Now help me, Father, to live for you and grow in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I will promise you this. If you meant that with all of your heart, then there is truly rejoicing of all the saints in heaven because you gave your life to Jesus. I want to encourage you as well, if you did that, to please contact us. You know, through our website, there's email addresses, there's phone numbers. Please give us a call. We would love to help you in your journey. We would like to help you with some material to help you disciple yourself or be plugged into a group, whichever you may want to be at the moment. Salvation, just asking the Lord to save you, is just the beginning. That's not the end of salvation. It's not, well, I checked the boxes and I've done everything I need to do to go to heaven. This is just the beginning. It's forming that relationship with him. And man, it's a great, great, wonderful, wonderful ride, as the old boy would say. So please contact us and let us know how we can help you along the way. Now, whatever it is that you've done, you bring that sin to him, you place your faith in him, and realize this, that according to the Word of God and a personal experience from my life, that his grace truly is sufficient to save you. His grace is truly sufficient to get you through those tough, tough times. I want to go back once again at these particular passages because there's some interesting things that we see. When we look at it, go back to verse 11 again. It says, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Now, this is when they were hiding from God. Adam and Eve were hiding from God. And you know, he's walking in the cool of the day. He's calling for them. They're hiding from him. They've caught up with each other. And they tell him, well, we hid from you because we knew we were naked. And in verse 11, he says, who was it? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat from? That's pretty pointed. All of a sudden, God's realizing there's something that's not right. Not that he didn't already realize it, but this is in the confrontation that he has with Adam. So then Adam does what most of us do. Adam gives an excuse. Down in verse 12, it says, then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. So now what does Adam do? Adam blames Eve. Well, let me say this. Not only is he blaming Eve, he's also blaming God. Because did you catch that subtle nuance in that particular scripture? Let's go back to it again. It says, then the man said, now here's the quote, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. So Adam basically is blaming not only Eve, but God. Kind of like, well, God, if you hadn't given me this woman, I wouldn't be here where I am. She's the one that gave it to me. You're the one that gave her to me. She's the one that gave it to me. So it's kind of your fault, too. That's basically what Adam was saying in regard to that particular scripture. And then what happens, it says in verse 13, and the Lord said to the woman. So he turns his focus off of Adam over to Eve and puts his focus on her. It says in verse 13, and the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So now she is shifting blame once again. Now she's even blaming the serpent. So what you're seeing is the blame game go on. Boy, does that sound familiar? How many times in your life and in my life and in this society today do we play the blame game? I have said this so many times. I said, I would just once like for somebody to come up and say, you know what? I'm just all jacked up. It's all my fault. I'm the one that's a mess. But no, what happens is generally, well, it's my wife's fault. It's my husband's fault. It's my kid's fault. It's my family's fault. It's my church's fault. It's my Sunday school teacher's fault. There's always somebody to blame, my coworker or whatever. Why? Because we don't want to take responsibility when we mess up. Now, folks, I want to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is not going to allow you to place blame where the blame is due. It is time for us to stand up and be counted for those things in our lives. You know, God has approached you with the same question that he approached Eve with today. What have you done? Yeah, hear that question again. What is this that you have done? Yeah, God's waiting on you to confess that to him so that he might be able to provide for you forgiveness when there is repentance. Remember, repentance is that turning away, that changing of heart about a circumstance or a situation. Are you ready to repent today? Then I want to challenge you and I want to urge you. Give this thing over to God. I want you to, whatever the Holy Spirit has put in your heart that is the answer to the question, what is this that you have done? Those are the things that you need to give to God. You know, respond to God's loving invitation. And first of all, if you haven't trusted him, be born again. But if you have trusted him and you realize you're just walking down that path of sin, then I'm begging you, listen to the Lord's call in your heart, repent and come back to him that he might fill your life, that he might use you for his honor, for his glory, and that you may live a happy and a fulfilled life. Because I will make you this promise, you can't outrun God, and as long as God's chastening you, there will not be peace in your heart. Are you ready to step up and say, Lord, look, I've messed up, and here's where I've messed up. Don't just let it go with that. If there's a specific thing in your life, then I'm going to ask you to be very specific with God about it today and say, Lord, I am confessing to you, and insert whatever that is. Lord, I am truly giving it to you. Remember, not just in a asking for forgiveness way, but in a repentance, a change of heart. I'm going to head the other direction. And by his grace, I'm never going to be in this particular seat again. I'm never going to do this sin again. Now, when I say that, a lot of times people say, well, you know what? I'm probably going to wind up messing up again. And you may, but the question is, was it because you just willfully went down that road, or was it because you were truly trying and you just messed up? You know, folks, people mess up, and God knows your heart. He knows where you are. He knows where your path is. And are you walking close to him? Because I'll tell you this much, if you're walking close to him, you're not going to drag him down that path. He'll sit back and tell you, nope, we don't need to go that way. But the question is, are you going to listen to him? So how do you answer that question today? What have you done? What have you done? Yeah, but it depends on how it may be asked. God may be going, oh, mercy, what have you done? Now, it's not because he doesn't know, but it's because he wants you to confess it to him and give it to him and seek his forgiveness through repentance. So the question is, it's time for you to answer God back. He's asking you today, what have you done? What are you going to say to him? I trust that God will give you the courage as you stand before him and as you confess those things that you're dealing with right now, as you confess those sins before him and as you repent of those sins, that God will give you the strength. Listen, he's going to love you. Remember what I said before, whatever you've done, God loves you and he's willing and ready to forgive you. The question is, will you accept God's love and his forgiveness in your heart and in your life? Wouldn't you like to be have renewed strength? Wouldn't you just like to be able to have peace as you go forward in your life? Well, as long as there's conviction of sin in your life, that's not going to happen. Not until you repent, not until you give it to the Savior. So today, he says to you, what have you done? You know, insert your name. What have you done? And he's waiting on your reply. What will your reply be? In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer with you, asking God to give you grace and strength by which to be able to do that. But I want to go ahead and tell you what we're going to be reading this week. I want to ask you to read passages out of Galatians chapter 5. This is going to be back over once again in the New Testament, but Galatians chapter 5. And next week, we're going to discuss hindrances to faith, which comes out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. What are the things that are hindering your faith? You know, what are the things that you sit back and say, I'm stumbling over, I have trouble over? What are the things that so easily set us back? We'll look at what God's Word says about that next week. But let me pray with you right now. And Father, as we come to you now, I'm grateful and thankful for your Holy Spirit. Lord, the guidance that the Holy Spirit gives each and every one of us. Lord, I'm grateful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And right now I pray that as we ponder the question that we read about in your word, the question that you asked Eve when you said, what is it that you have done? Lord, you're asking us that exact same thing. You are waiting for us to bring those things before you. The things that you are already convicting our heart of, you want us to bring them to you. You want us to truly repent. You want us to truly seek your forgiveness. And Lord, I just pray that you will give us the grace and the strength and the courage by which to bring those things before you, that we might be free of them and live that life of peace and freedom that you desire for each and every one of your children. God, we thank you for loving us and loving us so much that you sent our son to pay that sin debt price that we don't have to spend eternal life in that place called hell. Lord, help us to embrace who you are. Help us to stop playing the blame game and truly answer the question about what we've done as you seek us through your word and through this message. So, Lord, I pray you'll give each and every person here a great, great week. Use them for your honor and glory. Help them to sense your care on a daily basis. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, once again, I want to thank you for stopping by and joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As always, if you don't have a church home, please come by and see us. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. It's just north of Greensboro. You can find any of that information about where we are based on our website. You can go there. You can find information about that. But if you're in this area, you don't have a church home, we would love to have you come worship with us in spirit and in truth. And just have a great, great time of being able to love on one another as we love on our Savior. So I pray you have a great week, and God, may God use you in an incredible way in somebody else's life to draw them closer to him as he draws you closer to him as well. God bless. Have a great week.